So good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Magnolia Public Schools Finance Committee meeting on Thursday, March 9th, 2023. My name is Jennifer Lara. I'm the Executive Assistant and Board Secretary at Magnolia Public Schools. Before we begin, a couple of reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. Second, if you're a member of the public and you wish to make a public comment, we will have a section for public comments. As of now, we did not get any public speaker forms for this meeting. But regardless, we will still open it up if there's any public comments. And third, since this is our first in-person meeting, welcome all. We're going to continue with those that are presenting or have any comments or questions for you to please state your name and or title before presenting yourself to the committee, and for our committee members, if they may please state their name before stating their comments or their questions. So with that, we'll begin tonight's meeting. But once again, the day is Thursday, March 9th, 2023, and the time is 6:03 p.m. With that, Dr. Dikbush is not here at the moment, so I'll turn it over to Mr. Mohamedov, if you may please call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'd like to welcome all of you to our first in-person meeting for Magnolia Public Schools Finance Committee meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. So with that, I'll take roll call vote. Dr. Dikbush? Mr. Mohamedov?
Here.
Thank you. Dr. Yapanol?
Here.
Thank you to our committee members. Now that we've established quorum, we'll move on next with the approval of agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanol. Mr. Mohamedov for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yapanol?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to public comments. Once again, we did not receive any public comment form for this meeting. However, if someone would like to make a comment, you have 3 minutes to say your comment or 6 minutes if translation is needed. If there's anyone from the public that would like to make a public comment, you may please stand or raise your hand or unmute yourself. There are no public comments. Oh, Dr. Lopez, you have a public comment?
Yes. Hello. Thank you so much. Hello, board members, everyone joining virtually and in person. I just wanted to recognize that tomorrow we're attending a wonderful event in acknowledgement of Women's History Month. It'll take place at the Los Angeles County Office of Education. We're actually taking 12 staff members from Magnolia across the leadership realm. So we have home office staff, school site, community school coordinators, and we have 12 student mentees who will also be joining us at this event, including Dr. Schlottman. And we're really excited to be a part of it. And we'll also have the opportunity to hear from LA Supervisor Holly Mitchell and get to speak with her and hear great words. And so this is the first time we take a group of students to this event, as well as staff members. And we even have our wonderful representation from Jen Lara will be joining us from CEO Superintendent team. Our finance team, Lesia, and HR will also be there with Barbara Torres. So really excited and just wanted to let you all know this is coming down and we'll be sharing back our takeaways. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Lopez. Is there anyone else that would like to make a public comment? There are no further public comments. Then we'll move on next with the approval of minutes. So the motion is to approve the minutes from the regular finance committee meeting on December 7th, 2022. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanol. Mr. Mohamedov for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yapanol?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for that. So the minutes for December 7th, 2022 has been approved. Now we'll move on to the recommended action items, starting with 2A, approval of 2023. My apologies for that. So it is the approval of 2023 to 24 employee pay raise scale for full-time teaching positions and non-classroom-based academic positions and school leaders. This will be presented by Mr. Ajar, our Chief Operations Officer, Mr. Budraja, our Chief Financial Officer.
Where's the camera, Jen? No camera? That's the camera? Good evening, board members and Magnolia staff and the community. Today, we are bringing in front of you the 2023-24 MPS pay raise schedule for teachers, non-classroom-based academic personnel, and school leaders pay scale. This is mostly kind of a duplicate of the last year's pay raise scale. However, there's a couple of changes, and one of them is a major change. In the last year, we had the one actually base for all schools, $57,000. This year, that's the most important change. Because of actually the financial conditions of each site, we had to arrange actually the basis depending on the fiscal availability of each site. So you will see actually that some schools are having $59,000 base. There's a $2,000 increase. And some schools which are having more availability in their budgets are going to have $61,000 base. So if you look at the board report's first couple of pages, you will see that six of our schools are raised up to $59,000 base, and four of our schools are going up to $61,000. So $61,000 ones are MSA 1, MSA 2, MSA 5, and MSA 8. And $59,000 bases are all the other schools, MSA 3, 4, 6, and then 7, 8, San Diego, Santana. The other six schools are going to be having a base of 59. Again, four schools, 61, and the others, $59,000 base. So this is major change compared to the previous year. We try to do our best for each school site to have the best actually increase that we can at this point. The second change that you will see is we are adding actually a couple of new items to the one-time add-ons. That's the change because of the in-person meetings, changing law requirements. As you see, actually, we are having all our schools open today. And then for that, we needed to arrange our staff members to make sure schools will be open, at least one or two maximum actually staff members. We decided to have as much as possible the school leaders to be there. So we organized that for this year until the end of year. We did not have such an add-on this year. So that's why we currently have some kind of a one-time like stipend agreement structure until the end of this year. Starting from next year, if you look at the proposed scale, the pay raise scale, you will see actually that we are actually having like 1 hour up to 3 hours or three plus hours, three different types of stipend payments. That's going to be part of our scales. So as of now, we started actually tracking each school site, who is going to be there. And then we have stipend agreements for this year. Next year, this is going to be directly actually in the payroll. So every 20th payroll, just like all other one-time add-ons, we will be actually paying every staff member who opened the school for us during the board meetings. So all of our schools will be open during the committee meetings or regular board meetings. There's no differentiation. And three different types actually of payments based on the length of the meeting. Basically, these are the major changes that we are suggesting. The fiscal analysis is up on Steve and Dr. Budraja and his team worked on this for I don't know how many months. So they are more than ready to answer all your questions. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, good evening, everyone, committee members, staff, guests who are joining us. So I'm going to begin by going over two pieces of information. One is specific to the current year, 22-23, and that is our second interim report. It's the shorter of the two presentations. The next piece incorporates data in terms of changes to salary for 23-24. And so if we could go ahead and begin, and all of the, I just want to let everyone know that all of the information that is presented in this first deck is also going to be included in the second deck. So if there's anything that I didn't catch, I will definitely, it'll be included once again. So I'll go ahead and start with the second interim report, please. Oh, did you want to start with the big?
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
Yeah, we can make the adjustment. So, okay. Also, can you put the second interim? If you go to that resolution, open it up.
This one.
Is it this one?
Yes.
96.
Yeah.
Report package was like 600 pages.
Okay, right.
One second.
Which page?
Final six.
Yeah. We can go ahead and start with this. This is fine.
Okay, go ahead and start with that.
Yeah. So this is the more topic.
Are we jumping to item C right now?
No, this is Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO Superintendent. We wanted to give a whole picture of what this year looks like and then next year.
Okay.
Even though they're separate items for the board and the committee to get the whole picture.
Okay.
So that's why we wanted to start with the second interim, but because of the technical difficulties,
okay.
We'll start with the budget study, which then would be specific as to how much we could afford for next year to maintain long-term fiscal sustainability.
Right. Okay. Thank you. So this one is a bit more comprehensive, as was mentioned by Mr. Achar. We, our team in the finance department took some time in putting data together in terms of where we are for the current year, as well as planning for next year. And we really wanted to take a comprehensive approach to see where we are by school site, and then obviously look at what the assumptions are, information that we get from the state, staffing levels at each school site. So to begin, we're basing some of these numbers, some of our analysis is on the governor's January proposal, which currently includes an 8% cost of living adjustment for 23-24, beginning July 1. We know that there was some legislation back in November as it relates to arts and music. And so now that a few months have passed, we've gotten some clarity on what that is. And we've incorporated those numbers into our budget projections into next year. We know about some changes to Prop 98 funding. Those are going to kind of be ongoing because additional information will be available during the May revise. So we've incorporated what we know right now. And then most importantly is the one-time pandemic funding. We know this is our first in-person meeting back in 3 years. So for 3 years, you know, kids were learning remotely for much of the time, and we were doing things remotely and not in person. And so we know that pandemic funding certainly helped during the course of the last 3 years, but it will soon be exhausted. And you'll see here, as I get into the numbers, you'll see where we really wanna begin to plan for life without having these one-time funds and make sure we're appropriately budgeting each of the school sites, and we're appropriately staffed, and we're providing compensation and things that are reasonable within our budgetary constraints. And so on the expenditure side, you'll see the assumptions based on existing staff data. We took a look to see which site is being staffed, how many teachers, how many classified staff. We're using that information. We've gone ahead and added an assumption for employee benefits. An assumption is just a basic 10% increase. We don't know that that's going to be a case, but we're just anticipating. Obviously, we'd like to see that number come in lower, but for planning purposes, we thought that this would be prudent. And then the book supplies and services, we've gone ahead and added a 5% increase just to account for additional costs that would potentially come up during the next year. We could go to the next slide. And so this is our enrollment projections based on all the information that we've done, based on our accountability team, our enrollment team, and really taking a look to see all of our packets that have come in. So for current year, you can see the breakdown there, 3569 total Magnolia wide. And then we're projecting out to be 3730. And you can see incremental growth at each of the school sites, anywhere between 1% and in some cases up 5% and even more, maybe in some cases 10%. But you can see our highest enrolled schools there are 693 at MSA1, 507 MSA2. And then you can see on the bottom, there are some of our other higher ones in the 400s, MSA Santa Ana and San Diego. And then we've got some schools like MSA3 that are just below 400 at 375, and Bell similarly at 385. And then we've got a couple of schools that are in the 200. So we've got a mixed bag with schools being 100, 200, 300, 400, et cetera. And so we're anticipating growth based on information that we know. And we obviously want to be conservative and be mindful to project reasonably moving forward. If we could please go to the next, please. And so this is the same information. This is just funded enrollment. And so one thing to point out is during the pandemic, we know that the enrollment to ADA obviously decreased. We, Magnolia-wide, have traditionally been around 95, 96% of the time the kids are there, they're in their seats, they're ready to learn. We know that there was a significant disruption of that during the pandemic. And in planning for the year, we'd obviously anticipated that you know, would be back 95%, 96%. And over this last year, one of the things that we found is that it's become more challenging to get kids in the seats. And so while we're not at those low numbers of 89, 90%, we're closer to about 92.5%, 93%. So we've had to account for that. And obviously, we're looking to make sure that we're able to get the students in the seats, and we're looking to see those numbers eventually go up now that the pandemic seems to be behind us. So this is a funded amount you can see there, and the financial projections include this amount. So just wanted to share that. We can go to the next one. And then these are some good data points that I think are helpful for us to kind of plan and be able to see where we are by school site. And so here you can see our average class size by school, and they can range. For example, here at MSA 1, 22.3 is the average class size. It goes up to a little over 30 at MSA 2, 23.9, 20, and so forth. And so some schools are a little bit lower, like you see MSA 6 there at about 18 on average class size, and then some of them are higher with San Diego and Bell there. So each school varies in terms of their average class size. And so I thought that this would be good information to share with everyone so you can kind of get an idea of what that looks like. If we go to the next slide, please. This is the average class size by grade. So you can see they're going all the way from TK at the top to 12th grade on the bottom. And one thing I think is important to note here, and this is true of, you know, schools and organizations, you really want to have a good balance of the number of students graduating out in the 12th grade versus incoming, you know, children. And so one thing we can see here, if we just do some basic review, 22 and a half average class size, and then, you know, 23 and a half on the 12th grade. So we've got, you know, fairly consistent class sizes on the lower and the higher grades, as you can see there, and something that's important to point out. If we could please go to the next. And then this is an average class size by grade span. You see on the elementary side, we're at about 21 close to. About 26, 25 and, you know, close to 25 and a half in the middle schools, and 23.2 there at the high school. Very consistent with what you see at traditional school districts. You know, class size reduction is always a big deal. And in terms of K through three, TK through three, there's always an emphasis on trying to remain below 24 to one in terms of your number of kids per classroom. And so we're right in line with that at 20.6. And then obviously in the middle school, after you get to fourth, fifth, sixth grade, you start to see more students within a particular classroom, and very consistent and very, very much in line with what you see out there at other organizations, other schools. Now, if we could go over to, enrollment by grade. Similarly, this is just number of students enrolled by grade. Good information, you have it there. If you want to do some analysis, you can take a look at that. But I thought this would be good information to, you know, essentially, we know that our students are what drive our funding. And so we have to know who they are and where they are. And so I think this is helpful for us in terms of planning and decision-making. Now, if we can go over, finally, this is going to be the last sort of basic piece on the enrollment. And this really just talks about where our breakdown of middle school, you can see the majority are more than half are middle school, and then we've got a breakdown of elementary as well as high school students. So we serve all grades TK through 12, and this is a breakdown of how many we serve within each grade. And so this is another important piece that I think is valuable to know, given the fact that we have, you know, 10 schools ranging from, you know, being in LA County to Orange County, all the way down to San Diego County. These individual schools have different demographics, different populations, different kids with different, you know, ages and so forth. And so the per pupil funding that we get varies. And so you can see on average Magnolia wide, we get about, and I'm sorry, it's up there. We get about $19,900 per student from all different sources, state, federal, local, et cetera. So about $20,000 per kid. And that really has to do with the slide that I'm going to get to next. And it has to do with the population that we serve. You know, we traditionally serve students who have greater needs, who fall into categories where they're high free and reduced lunch, students that are English language learners, even in some cases foster youth care. So obviously we get funded higher from the state on those students that are in greater need. And as you can see there, our San Diego school, currently their population of unduplicated is about 38, 39% or so. So they're not getting enough, they don't have enough students to be able to qualify for concentration grant funding, which is 65%. And so they just don't get as much per kid. They get about one third less than the other schools, and their average is about 12,500 to 13,000 per student. And you can see here in the next slide, unduplicated people count, and it kind of reflects that. You can see on the right-hand side there how their counts are lower. Among Magnolia, MSA 5 and 6 serve probably the highest number of students with that fall into these categories. They're about 95 and 96%. The state is even coming out with some additional funding, which we're getting to learn about now, to provide additional resources for schools that are serving free, not free and reduced, but free lunch, like kids that really need it the most. And so there are some opportunities for specifically MSA 5 and MSA 6 to receive some additional funding, which I can touch on. It varies by the school and obviously by the number of students, but that's extra money because they it does take additional resources to help serve those students.
Do you have like trend data of how these unduplicated pupil counts are trending upwards?
That's a good question. We track all of that trend data.
Yes, I think they treat your average.
You have to state your name.
Yes, David Thomas, to be counting officer. Yes, we have a historical data on UPP. They typically average 3 years for the current year assignment. We are kind of there at the same levels for the past 2 years.
Yeah, we based on the data we look at, it hasn't fluctuated significantly year over year. We're generally serving the same type of population now that we were maybe 2-3 years ago. I don't know that there have been any significant changes over the last 3 years, but that's a very good question. So this is some data on certificated to student ratio. This is basically how many kids for every certificated staff member. And obviously that will vary depending on the site, on the school side. You know, here, MSA 1, 16.4, a little higher than MSA 2, MSA 3, 14.4, and then a couple of the schools, 4 and 6, a little bit lower, and then the highest being San Diego there. You can see on the right in the purple, having basically more students per certificated staff. And so I think it's an important metric to know kind of what each school is confronting when they have their own individual challenges. And so this is the same.
MSA 4 is just 10 students per certificated.
It's relatively low because of the size of the school, and it's not a significant population of students or teachers. So that's why you see that number being what it is. And then this is the classified metric. Similarly, you know, we've got more classified, more students per classified staff on your right-hand side with San Diego, and all the other ones, all the other schools kind of fall in to different, you know, anywhere ranging between 22 and a half up to 30, and in some cases lower, as you can see with Santa Ana, Bell, and MSA 7. And MSA 7 and Santa Ana also do serve TK through 6, and so, you know, keeping in mind with the class sizes, so that also kind of helps to sort of understand that part.
what's happening here, San Diego seems to serve a lot of students with much less classified staff members.
That's a very important point. And so when you receive funding that's, you know, when you receive two thirds of the funding that the other schools get, there are more challenges in terms of staffing and being able to kind of do a little bit more with less resources. And they also are one of the higher in terms of fundraising because they have to reach out and get people to help contribute and make up for some of that shortfall that we see there.
My question is that why we can't replicate the success San Diego is having efficiently around the school to other schools.
I think that's
population of kids. Different money.
Can I make comment?
Yes. State your name, please. Megan Craig and Gokhan Serge, our wonderful leadership from San Diego. We heard your voices, so I assume it's you. This is Alfredo.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Rubalcaba. This is Gokhan Serge, principal and regional director in San Diego. I think one of the key components that I want to highlight here is our classified student ratio, although it represents this, and still our number will be high, but there are two staff members that we utilize through one of our substitute companies. But even with that, our numbers will be different. And one of the reasons, I'm sure the other schools can explain that too, but we don't get the same amount of title funds. We don't have a full-time like EL coordinator type of role. So there are many other needs that some of our schools have based on the student's socioeconomic situation or their immigration status or their language background. As a result, the needs are a little bit different in San Diego than some of our other schools. And as a result of that, the funding is also different. So because of that, we have less office staff, we have less instructional aid support for our students because of the funding and the needs. And it's at the end makes our student to staff ratio way higher than other schools.
Yeah, I understand this reasoning, but
thank you, Mr. Sir. Yeah. This is Nikon.
Let me address Dr. Yapanel's question. This is Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO of Superintendent. You're right, Dr. Yapanel. Irrespective of socioeconomic status, zip code, every kid deserves the same level of education. So our goal is to strive to ensure that all kids are getting that level of education. And that's the task we have every day, especially focused on equity. It's challenging, but again, we have to push. If San Diego's getting a certain level of education, then the kids at 1-5 should be getting the same, and the test scores should be the same, irrespective of those challenges. So that is the goal of ours.
Yeah, I understand, but San Diego is very successful with much less funding. I really want to see a little bit detailed study of what's really happening in terms of classifieds, because to me, this just looks like some improvements we can do in terms of staff efficiencies, provided the upcoming challenges in finance. I really would like to see you look into this area to improve the efficiency.
Right. No, thank you for that feedback. Definitely writing it down, and we'll come back to you with some of those analysis.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Well, I had a question.
Just to resonate to that, what I'm also trying to understand is less funding means less services in certain areas. More funding means more services. But the ratio shouldn't fluctuate this much. It's the bottom line. So to resonate what Dr. Yapanel is saying, irrespective of the funding level, are we saying that because MSA San Diego gets less funding, they are more efficient?
I would say that since the, you know, if you look at each school and their respective budget, generally two-thirds of costs of expenditures will go on personnel costs. Mm-hmm. It's a big part of the budget. So it's really hard to try and and make any potential reductions without having it affect people and affecting staff. So I think just by the nature, I mean, some of our schools will have anywhere between 60-65% all the way up to 70% of the budget dedicated towards personnel costs. That would be certificated, classified staff, employee benefits. So I think because it accounts for such a large percent of the budget, it's really difficult for it to not affect people.
Okay. Can I make one more comment? This is Principal Serge from San Diego. Some of the one-time funds required us to add additional classified staff members, like professionals. And depending on the school's unduplicated number, the amount of money that we received is completely different. In our case, we were able to add almost one person, barely. And in some of our schools, most probably they ended up adding 2-3 support staff utilizing those funds. So again, the funding and mandatory requirements due to COVID might also have other impact. And Dr. Yapanel, I mean, if I'm sure we will work with other principals and Mr. Rubalcava and Mr. Budraja to work on that, and we can provide more detailed information, and we will follow Mr. Rubalcava's lead on that.
Sorry, at this time, because of the time and we have a regular board meeting at 7, let's finish with the report and opening up for questions.
Thank you for keeping us on.
Yes.
Continue on, okay. Mr. Bujardis.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and move on to the next slide, if we could, please. So this is important information. Is obviously, as we as Mr. Ajar mentioned, we're talking about compensation increases for both certificated and classified staff. And so I think it's helpful to take a step back and look to see where we were going back to, you know, 2018 or so, and look to see what our base salaries were and how they've kind of increased over the last 5 years or so. And you can see here back in the 2017-18 year, our base salary for certificated staff was $45,066, you know, so over that time, we've gone up incrementally. The following year, we went up to $46,600. And then subsequent to that, in 2019-20, we went up to $50,000 as a base for all LA schools. And then Santa Ana, San Diego remained at $48,000. And then following, and then you can see the cost of living information here. That was about 2.5%, close to 3%, and 3% of those 2 years. In 2020 and 2021, pandemic year, there was no cost of living adjustments. And then following that in 21-22, our salaries went up on average about $52,000 and then closer to $50,000 at those Santa Ana, San Diego schools. And so we've made a tremendous jump of about 26.5% over a five-year period, very much keeping in line with other schools and wanting to remain competitive and keep some of our best and brightest teachers and staff members. So we always want to be mindful of good compensation. And I think it's also shown up in terms of our retention and being able to keep the good people that we have to serve our students. And so that 26.5% number does not include the proposed increase going into the next fiscal year of 57,000 as a base and 61 for some schools, which I'll get into more detail as we move along here.
Next slide.
Yes, please. So additional enhancements that we offer beyond the salaries. Obviously, we've got some one-time assignments that we pay, and there's some good compensation as it relates to home visits, overnight trips, other additional pay that we offer to make sure we have our folks, our teachers engaged. We offer pay for floating holidays, extra life insurance, tuition reimbursement, medical coverage for not just the employee, but also their staff, which is, healthcare costs can be high. So that's a very big deal. And I think that those are things that sometimes are not always, discussed, but I wanted to point out that we offer very good compensation beyond just the salary that was mentioned previously.
So if we have an employee who doesn't want insurance for dependents, do we provide any additional compensation for those?
Yeah, this is Suat. I'm the Chief Operations Officer, and HR is under my supervision. Yes, we do actually compensate. If the employee does not want to include the family members, we do actually provide an additional compensation for them.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Great. Thank you. If we could move along, please.
I'm sorry, if they don't wanna get the insurance for themselves, I'm sorry, correction.
Not the dependents?
No, dependents and the additional benefit. So we provide it to them. If they wanna get it, it's completely free, they pay nothing. Versus some other actually districts, we checked some other states as well, but they
if
do
they
actually
don't want it, then we
if the employee doesn't want it, we give an extra compensation
extra.
Every pay period, we give an additional compensation.
Okay.
And if the employee actually wants to add all the family members, we ask for nothing. I mean, if they go with the HMO, they pay nothing versus other organizations. As far as I know, it's like 10,000 even more. They have to pay annually, actually, if they want to add their family members. As a family of five, that means a lot for me, for example.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, how this is a very good benefit, and how much appreciated this is by the staff members. Is it like, well, you will have to keep it that way as we are trying to save the costs?
We did not survey actually the staff members, but based on one-on-one conversations that I had with multiple people actually over the past 10 years, these benefits are actually helping a lot of staff members, especially tuition reimbursement. I think it's approaching $3 million over the past 10, 12 years that we are giving this. Currently, we have a lot of staff members benefiting from the doctoral degrees, master's degrees.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays, we have the credential staff crisis, as you're following. It's been 10 years, you know, that we are having this problem. Now it came to the point that they started actually, you know, following this with the schools. They are giving warning signs if you have 15% or more of your staff members having temporary credentials or PIPs or some other actually not preliminary credentials. So we are getting a lot of those brand new actually, you know, newly starting teachers. So we are giving with no question actually all credential related actually expenses through the counties, or if they want to actually join some universities, we are completely covering your expenses up to $5,000.
Okay.
So this is a lot. So we are getting a lot of new teachers just because of this benefit, because as you know, the new fresh starting teacher, they don't have enough money to cover those expenses. We are covering those expenses for them.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so this is the compensation summary proposed for the next fiscal year, 23-24. And you can see here on your left-hand side, we are proposing a base salary increase from the current $57,000 to $61,000. That would be for MSA 1, 2, 5, and 8. And the schools on the right, MSA 3, 4, 6, 7, Santa Ana, San Diego, would be going to a base salary of $59,000. Now, all of this is based on the respective budget for the school. And so we obviously look at all the different trends, whether it's enrollment, you know, how much money they have in terms of one-time funding and demographics. And so after doing the analysis and taking a look to see based on affordability, this is what we had decided upon as a C team. And so the compensation increases here don't include the 1 year. We also offer a 1 year of experience pay, which is a little over $1,000. So if you take a look, I mean, on average, the experience pay coupled with the increase in the base for the six schools amounts to close to 6%. And then when it comes to the first four schools, it amounts to in excess of 8%. So we're very competitive in terms of what we're offering our certificated and classified staff.
So this is Alfredo Rubalcaba. The context I would like to add here is just historical enrollment trends, because I think it is also important to understand that we've had a decline, and with that decline, we've had to heavily rely on one-time funding. With that one-time funding now expiring, it's not something where we could just say, let's give everyone 8%, because now we're dealing with making up that deficit. So MSA 1 at one point was at 747 students, currently we're at 709. But obviously with us putting 1 and 5 together, some of the facility challenges, that constricts us. MSA 2 has been our only school that's grown in the last 4 years, from 435 to now 507, they went up to 511. So that's good, because as you grow, then you're able to provide more resources. MSA 5, again, after we were, you know, unceremoniously booted out from Reseda Charter, right? We came here, we have our home, but we went from 290 currently to 230. So that's a decline there. MSA 8, again, many challenges, pandemic, people moving out. You could go on and on, but from 482 3 years ago to now currently 385. So that's a huge decline. MSA 3 at one point in 1920, 510 students, now currently 369. So a huge drop, right? MSA 4 at one point were 136 3 years ago. Currently we're at 108, but there's a drop there too. MSA 6, three moves. At one point we were at 135 as well. Currently we're at 94. MSA 7, 292, currently at 265. Santa Ana, we've experienced the largest drop. At one point we were at 736. Currently we're at 489. Huge dip. And then San Diego, not as much, but at one point we were at 443, currently about 420. So we've had quite a bit of decline. And one of our budget priorities is always, always ensuring that we focus on student achievement, always first and foremost. But one of those others is also protecting our highly effective workforce and seeing how much we could afford to pay our highly effective workforce through one-time funding, through funding we're getting through the COLA. What you see here is us funding, not necessarily the COLA per se, because we've been using one-time funding, and the rule in finance, Makan knows this, and Steve, never use one-time funding to pay for ongoing expenses. But we've been trying, obviously, to then remedy that and make sure we protect our highly effective workforce. But it's not an apples to apples. We're getting 8.13, so we should give 8.13 because of the decline in enrollment.
We have 15 minutes remaining.
Okay. Okay, so I'll try to kind of briefly go over. Remember, I'm going to be talking about this again as a full board, with the full board, so we can get into additional detail and feel free to ask any questions that I may not have covered during this time. So if we could please go to the next slide. So I'll start fairly quickly, and then, you know, we can, any questions that you have, feel free to just jump in, let me know. MSA 1 right here. We have 693 enrolled currently, projected to go to 700, a 1% increase from one year to the next. In this case, they have a balanced budget with a surplus of $579,000 in the current year, and then close to $500,000 in the next year, $483,000, with a sufficient ending fund balance of in excess of $10 million in each of those 2 years. If we go to the next slide, please. So here in this case, given their affordability and their capacity, we were able to offer 51 certificated and 30 classified staff that 8% increase. So increasing the base salary from the existing $57,000 to $61,000 and being able to offer classified staff an 8% increase. So I think the affordability is there. There's a surplus. So we want to dedicate resources where we can. And if we go to the next slide, please. These are just some planning considerations. Obviously, besides staffing, we know that staffing is a big component of the budget, but there are also considerations beyond that. And one of those is obviously technology. Here at this site, technology has been, some of the technology is going to be obsolete at some point, as I think Mr. Julian here can probably attest to. So we want to be able to offer students appropriate technology that still works and that's not, you know, gotten past its expectancy in terms of life usage. And then in addition, we've got, you know, the JAM building next door, and we've got some other facilities projects. So we also have to keep in mind of costs associated with that and be able to budget for it appropriately. So if we can go to the next one, please, MSA 2. Here, similarly, growing in terms of enrollment, as was mentioned, current year enrollment is 507, projected to go to 530. It's about a 5% increase from year over year. And then we anticipate that that'll happen because they've shown a trend of increasing enrollment over the last 3+ years. So here, similarly, you've got a balanced budget, $9.3 million worth of revenues, offset by about $8.5 million worth of expenditures, allowing for an $825,000 surplus. And then similarly next year, also a balanced budget with a projected surplus of over $500,000, $555,000. And one thing I circled here on the right-hand side on the bottom there is the fund balance. Currently it's $5.1 million, but as everyone here knows, we voted on, we agreed to a facilities acquisition with Van Owen property. And so there's a portion of that fund balance that's gonna be dedicated towards the facilities, about $3 million. So one of the things that we're gonna be watching for, as I'll show in the next slide, is
This is Alfredo Valcava. So we do have to end this meeting at 7 o'clock. So that means we will not have you guys make a recommendation on any of the items. So therefore, we could start at 7 p.m. So at this point, just keep going, but we have to stop at 7.
Sure.
So then we will basically start from scratch. But before we commence the meeting, I'll turn it over to Jen, obviously, to just make the announcement that there's no recommendation.
Right now
we're
at the end of the
meeting.
After he
finishes.
Okay. All right. So I'll
12 minutes.
Okay, I'll go through fairly quickly here. So here in this case,
we're adjusting. I said this is good.
So the recommendation here in this case, because of the ability to have budget capacity and generate surpluses, we're able to afford that increase of to 61,000 as a base from the existing 57,000 and offer 8% on for classified as well. And if we go to the next slide, please, you'll see some of the other planning considerations that we have to keep in mind besides staffing is going to be obviously focusing on maintaining cash. We know that after, you know, spending about $3 million, cash flow is going to be important. So we're going to be watching that to make sure we're able to keep our personnel costs and keep the lights on and all the bills paid. And then and focus on the facilities. We begin planning. That's going to be a huge endeavor. We can go to the next one, please. MSA 3. So here we've got currently 375 enrolled, projected to be 400. Here we have a situation where it's a little bit of a deficit here. And so I'll talk a little bit about this because this is very important. You will see that some of our schools are projecting a deficit in the current year. Now, there is a circumstance that has happened over the last several months, and this has been kind of an ongoing debate. So we were held harmless for ADA and percentage of ADA for the current year. That information became available after we adopted our budget. We anticipated that it would happen, but it did happen. And so what the state did was they said, for us, for Magnolia, it meant $5 million. That means we only extra $5 million for all the schools that we wouldn't have gotten if they didn't have this hold harmless funding. So of that $5 million, $2.1 million came in, and we booked it for the prior year as was recommended by our auditors. And so the remaining $2.9 million is now starting to come in. It's not come in yet. So we anticipate that additional $2.9 million that will come in for the current year will help to wipe away this deficit spending. So it's kind of a...
How will you book it?
We'll book it for the current year. Yeah, so we'll book it for the current year because it's we're allowed to do that. And so there was a lot of confusion on, well, do you book it all for last year? Do you book it all for this year? We got conflicting information from the county, from the state, from various others. And so we're kind of just following recommendations. But I'm confident now being able to know that money is coming and it should probably be coming soon. So it'll help to mitigate some of this deficit spending that you see here. If we can go on to the next slide, please. Well, I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and move on and I'll come back to anything that I want to get into detail. So in this case, obviously with the deficit and challenges that we faced, we are proposing an increase to the base to 59,000 rather than 61,000 based on affordability, budget capacity. And so this is going to be close to about, 6% when you include that supplemental experience pay. And so that would affect 28 and certificated 13 classified staff. And then moving into the next slide, you can see some of the other considerations that we have to take into account besides, personnel costs. We have to take a look at fiscal stabilization plan that I'll get into the specifics of that and basically identifying potential cost reductions to the budget as necessary because we obviously don't want to be deficit spending into next year. And so we want to identify things and we've worked with the sites to identify specifics as it relates to personnel, book supply services that we would have to take a look into moving into next year. We could go to MSA 4, next one, please. So here, enrollment currently 105, projected to go to 120, a higher percentage in terms of increase. Current year, very close to a balanced budget with a deficit of about 108,000. We again anticipate the hold harmless funding will help to wipe away this current year deficit. But into next year, you can see it's a balanced budget of about 36,000. But here in this case, we've also had to identify things that would have to be looked at and analyzed more carefully in order to be sustainable, in order to basically maintain a balanced budget and not to deficit spend into 23-24. And if we go into the next slide, you'll see some of the planning. So this would affect 13 certificated, 3 classified staff, and you can see that year-over-year change. And if you go to the next one, please, You can see some of the other planning considerations that we're looking at is that fiscal stabilization plan to identify, you know, areas in which we may have to look at more closely as we begin gearing up for next school year. We go to MSA 5 right next door. Current year enrollment 234, projected to be 239, not a significant change year over year. We know that the enrollment has been pretty steady here at MSA 5, and so revenues 4.78 million offset by about 4.5 million worth of expenditures, allowing the school to project a surplus of 280,000 and then maintain that fund balance of close to $4 million. Very similarly into next year, of close to a $500,000 surplus that we're projecting based on all the information that we have at this time. And if you go to the next slide, we're proposing here in this case, similar to MSA 1 and 2, we're proposing a base of 61,000 that would represent about 8%. And then similarly with classified 8%. And we think that based on the budget, based on enrollment, affordability, that the school will be able to sustain that, that base pay. And if we can go to the next one, and going beyond personnel costs, we know that there's other considerations. Meeting with our site principal, there's a community schools coordinator, that position that that funding may not come in next year. We are anticipating applying for this grant, and we have not yet heard that it'll come in. So to be prudent in terms of budgeting, we didn't include that position, but we looked at the budget for MSA 5 and we determined that affordability is there. So the site principal was in agreement to maintain that position and pay for it out of the site budget for next year. But obviously the biggest focus next year is gonna be on that Winnetka site and being able to plan and do all of the things that we have to do. There's architectural fees and there's all kinds of other costs associated. So that's gonna be one of the big items to be looking into as we go into next year.
And I'm going to go ahead. This is Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO, Superintendent. I'm going to put a pin on it. Ms. Lara, we are putting a pin on this meeting. So if you want to inform us that these resolutions will not receive a recommendation because of time. And Steve, it's good practice. We will do this for the next meeting, which is good because it'll generate more questions.
Okay. Yeah, and feel free to, if you think of stuff, you know, ask me. I'm more than happy to answer any questions that you may have into our next session. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Steve. So at this moment, there will be like no recommendations from any of the recommended action items from this committee. So the conversation for these items will continue at the regular board meeting at 7 p.m. So at this time, I'll turn it over to Mr. Muhammad. If you may please adjourn, the time is 6:55 p.m.
Thank you, Jennifer. I would like to adjourn the Magnolia Public Schools Finance Committee meeting. Thank you.
All right, 4-minute break.